So before we get into the word, let me just say, when I was early on in my faith, and I'll say it this way, it's still from time to time, but especially early on in my faith, I had kind of a spectator attitude. You know what I'm saying? I had kind of a show it to me, consumer mentality around my faith. And I can remember, you know, this impacted me for a while. This had a hook in me for a season, and it's a constant pressure for you and I. It is constantly showcasing in your life the opportunity to come on, be about you. Be about a consumer. We live in a culture, man. This is the heartbeat of our culture, right? It's this high-paced, massive entertainment, instant gratification, show me something culture, impress me culture that I seriously bought into early in my Christian walk. And if I'm being honest, from time to time, it still knocks on me and calls to me, and I have to resist it, because you know this, we know this. If we consume that, and if we bring that into our walk, if we bring that into who we are as Christians, then what we end up doing is we make it about us, we make it about me, we idealize our lives, we make it about our lives, and then what happens is there's really no discipline going on. There's no ability to discipline yourself, and pain tolerance gets super low because we're idealizing it should be better for me. And so we've got to resist that. And that was me back in 94 when I came here. In fact, you can't see them anymore because they jackhammered out the stairs, but there were two scuff marks on the old set that was just knocked out. Two scuff marks. They were faint, but they were there. Those were my toes dragging. When God drug me in here in 1994, all those years ago, like, I didn't want to be here. Lisa wanted to be here. I don't want to be here. And so I thought, you know what, just a matter of time, I'll get her out of here. We'll go do what I want. And in 1994, I sat over in those pews right over there by Shannon, arms crossed, with an attitude that said, go ahead, impress me. Come on, bring it. And for about a year, that was my heart, right? I just had this whatever impress me attitude. And 25 years ago, in fact, if you would have told me back then that 25 years later I'd still be here, I'd have laughed in your face. And if you would have told me that 20 of those 25 years would be as one of the pastors, vocational pastors here, one of your pastors, I would have opened my car door, sat you down, and drove you to Western State Hospital, because you would have been crazy in my mind. And the long story short, the short story is, I got here and I'm still here. After all these years, I'm still here. And God has, over the course of this run with me, He has dealt with, in a word, my arrogance. Over the course of time, He has molded me, He has shaped me, He has squeezed me. As I've been on that potter's wheel, you know, like we're all supposed to be? Amen? Yeah, I've been on that wheel, and at times I've been pressed, at times torn a little bit, and then put into the furnace, the fire. And all these years later, after, I don't know much after all these years later, but one thing I do know, it ain't about me. It's not about me, and it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ, amen? And here I go, I'm starting to yell. I'm trying to tone it down. It's about Jesus Christ. And it's about His bride and what God has called the bride to be about and what God has called the bride to be involved with. If the church is influenced by culture and we start to suck up the consumer mentality, if we start to bring that into the bride, what begins to happen is the church just goes stagnant. No longer is there discipleship taking place. No longer are we being formed. Rather, it's about what can you do for me? What can you do to impress me? It's an entertainment kind of a mindset that enters into the church, and that's never been the intention of Christ. It's never the intention for the bride to sit there and be entertained. Amen. It's about conforming ourselves to who God is, who Christ is, and then and responding to that. Some have called the culture that we live in the arena culture. The arena culture, right, where we're just there, bring the entertainment, and we have to resist that. And I hope, like, if you're here this morning, like I was, kind of like with that, impress me. Come on, Glenn, bring it. Or more to the point, if you've been here a while with your arms crossed, you know what I'm saying, where it's just like, uh-huh, whatever. If you got your arms crossed, this is my prayer. And again, I'll say it again. From time to time, that's me. From time to time, that knocks on my door, and I'm tempted to go that direction. And if we're here, and that's kind of where our heart is, I've been praying all week, God, would you reorient our hearts? Would you reshape how we view what it means to be a part of the bride, what it means to be a part of your bride, right here, right now, what we're doing. This is not about entertainment. This is not about your life. It's about your life invited into my life. It's about my life invited into your life. This is life in life, life on life, life together in community. And I look around and there's a few of you. I saw some in the first service especially. They're here. Jake McGee was here. Last week, he had a week. Lori, after her surgery, the pain she was in. We prayed for that sister, amen? We prayed for her. We lifted her up in prayer before the Lord. We got a sister who lost her husband last week, Carol Freitag. The joy of her husband graduating and the grief of loss that she's going to have to go through. We labor in prayer for each other. Some of you are here this morning, and I am like, I'm so thankful that you're here because I know what you're going through. I know that you kind of bob above and below that waterline of life because it's hard. And yet here you are. You're here. High five. Way to get here. It's life in life. It's life on life. Church was never supposed to be 60 minutes, see you next week. That's not what church is supposed to be. If that's kind of where we've settled it, then we are missing the gospel. We are missing what it means to be a part of the bride of Christ. This is life on life. This is us in with each other. Besides, in a town our size, we're going to run into each other. We're going to see each other. I see half of you every week down at Urocco's. I go down there. There you are. And so I get back to the office half hour later. They're like, where have you been? I went to Urocco's. Okay, got it. I saw people down there. Yesterday, I'm out hiking, and I'm 5 miles up staircase, and I see a line of you that are from the church. There you are. I'm out doing my thing in the hiking. Lisa and I ran into you. And if we don't see you at Urocco, if we don't see you on the trail, we'll see you at Walmart. We'll see you there. So we're kind of in that way anyway, so why not invite each other in, and let's be in your life, you in mine, and let's do this the way God has designed it, because we're supposed to be on mission. We're supposed to be in each other's lives in a way that God can use to be on mission. That's what we're going to talk about today. What does it mean to be on mission? Now, that's kind of foreign to some of us. Maybe you're here and you've kind of drifted away from what it means to be a part of the body of Christ. And it's a little bit unusual. So let's redial in our hearts to what the Word of God says about what it means to be a part of this family. And from being a part of this family, out of this amazing relationship with what God has done for us, be on mission. Be on mission. That's what we're going to do. So let's bow our hearts. I want to pray, and then we're gonna go after the Word of God together in Ephesians 4. So let's pray. God, it's amazing. You are so good to us. You went all in. You gave us everything we needed in Christ. We didn't earn it. We didn't deserve it. We were lost sinners under the wrath, under judgment. Couldn't earn it, not a thing we could do to earn your love that way, your restoration. But you loved us in our sin so much, you sent Jesus. And now we have this amazing, amazing gift, being part of the bride. Being part of the bride is filled with adventure. It's filled with life. And for some of us, that's just not there right now. For some, it's so foreign. It's so foreign to our experience in church. And God, I pray that you would use today's word, this encouragement. It's a hard poke, but would you poke? Would you open our hearts to hear from you, God? Because the truth is that the life designed by you for us goes through this idea of being on mission. And if we've missed that somehow, then we're sitting in the pew bored with the attitude that says, show me something. And that was never your heart. So God, open the word to us. Open our hearts to respond to your word. I pray, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's jump in. Verse 11, chapter 4. I'll read right through the text. It says, it was he, Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. To, verse 12, prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and the craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, that's us, being joined, held together, every supplement or supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So there's the text. There it is. Now let me jump into this, but very quickly by way of review. This is what we got so far from being in this series. This is what we know. Jesus loves the church. I mean, that's it. He loves the bride. Crazy for the bride is Jesus. God sends Jesus to go to the cross to supply opportunity for salvation. Now, all of a sudden, we get invited into this entire new world of sin forgiven, of our identity redefined, and eternity secure in Christ. That is chapters 1 through 3. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And last week we started chapter 4. Chapter 4 starts in verse 1 with therefore, because of what the gospel has done for us. Here's our response. And our response starting last week by God's design is get along. That was last week. Get along. Come on, Christians, get along. Get along with each other. That's God's design, because if we're ever going to be on mission, which is what we're doing today, our response to the gospel is to get along, and we can never be on mission if we're not getting along. So we got to get along, and then we got to grow in being on mission, and that is what we are aiming ourselves at today. This is the ultimate plan of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's kind of sketchy in my view, because the ultimate goal of the Lord Jesus Christ is to use the church, to use the bride, to use the body, to showcase to the world the expanse of God's wisdom and his holiness. And he uses us to do that. Doesn't that sound sketchy to you? The idea of you and I being labeled with that responsibility, that's not the way I would do it. That is at best risky, if not just a terrible idea to me. And yet it's God's choice. Has anybody seen hypocrisy amongst God's people? Have you seen that? Nobody? Okay, cool. Has anybody, I could get you in the car, drive you 20 minutes to two different churches that are on fire right now. They're burning. And if God doesn't intervene, they're going to go to the ground. There's a certain message coming into culture from that, right? Now, don't raise your hands, but if I said to you, raise your hand if you've ever been hurt by the church, let me just raise my hand for you. I'll raise my hand for you, because if you've been in the church more than 30 minutes, you've been hurt. You've been hurt. Right? And yet it's God's choice, God's plan, God's plan to use you, to use me, to use us, to use us to go and be ambassadors. Mind-blowing. Kind of says something about the need for Christ, doesn't it? Kind of says something about the need for us to really mine out what it means to be dependent on him, what it means to be on mission. Got to get along, and you got to be on mission. So let me jump into this. I'm going to talk about three points. The first point is this: mission assumption. Mission assumption. This is what I mean by that. The assumption of who's on mission. Who's on mission? And I just want to drill this down a little bit, because it's got to be clarified. This is foundational. If we're ever going to get on mission, we got to have the right assumption about mission. Otherwise, I don't know what we're going to be. But the assumption is this: every one of us are on mission. Every one of us. Every one of us. Because it's so easy to get that jacked up. It's so easy to get that backwards. It's so easy, especially if we're coming in here like this. Especially if we're coming in here with that mentality that says, show me something. We get it backwards, because we prop up the reality that is not reality, but it is our reality, that mission is about the pastors. Mission is about the ministry staff. Now, we've got 6 ministry staff on staff. And I start to think about that, and I wonder, no wonder, if that's our mindset, if we're really stuck there, no wonder the manifest wisdom and the knowledge and the holiness of God is not seen globally. No wonder if as a culture, as a church culture in the West, if it's about pastors, if it's about staff, no wonder it's not being seen. You know how many people come in and out of these doors here at FBC? How many people are coming through? 700. That's our best guess right now. We talked about this last week. About 700 of you are coming in through these doors called First Baptist Church. And about 360 of you are actual members, where you've kind of like said, I'm in. I'm in. All of a sudden, what we've got is a small army. Look at that. That's about 400 people right there. There's 700 of us. And God's design is to release that small army into where God has called you, right here, right now, Mason County. It's on us. And if it's going to be about just sending out the 5, you know, the 5 that are seminary trained, never going to happen. Ever going to happen. It's about us. 700 by grace gifted, stepping up into how God has gifted them, released into this place that you have been planted for this season to be on mission for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an army. We can rock Mason County if we can get on board with that. That's the call. We got to get out there. We got to get out there. I go to Anytime Fitness. 2, sometimes 3, sometimes 3 days a week. Anybody? Anytime Fitness? I go up there and I get on that. That's a stair stepper, and I hate it. I hate it. I get on that thing because it's really the only apparatus up there that enables me to do what I really love to do, but I hate that machine. I've nicknamed it Beelzebub because of the way it punishes me. But I go up to that gym, and I go to the gym, I get on Beelzebub, I grind it out to get out of the gym. The whole purpose for going to the gym is to get out of the gym and go do what I love to do, which is to get up on a mountain, in God's creation, on a mountain top experience with the Lord. That's what I love to do. I go to the gym to get out of the gym. You and I were never, ever designed to stay in the gym. We're not designed to stay in the gym. This is the gym. Your Bible study, that's the gym. Your small group, that's the gym. Your service even, your service in the kitchen, your VBS volunteering, your driving youth back from San Francisco, which is happening today. That's the gym. Mission is the idea of getting out there with what God has given us to communicate what we are to communicate. And we'll get to that in a second. I am sometimes shocked by how the draw on me and the draw on you is to be in the gym, some of us for 10, 20, even 30 years, in the gym, going to the classes, going to the small group, going. We go to all the apparatuses in the gym, but we've never gone out and we've never experienced what it's like to climb a mountain for the glory of God. We've never done that. But we know the gym. We've got the Bible down. We've got it down. We know where the classes are. We know where the ministry is. We know how the gym works. Some of us, we even get in here and we know how to worship, as Justin and the team are leading, right? Tim Hawkins, I love his little thing. We know how to carry the flat screen. And we'll graduate that to the big screen. We'll carry the baby in our worship. We'll lift our high five up to the Lord, maybe even do the chest pump. We know the language of the gym, but if that's all it is, we're missing it. We're missing it. This is a poke on us as a church. This is a call on us by God. This is an invitation. Get out of the gym. Come on, let's do a mountaintop. Let's go really experience what it's like to get out there. If all we are is a spectator culture as a church, then this church will grow stagnant. And it's not. Praise God, it's not. But it could. If we let that settle into our heart, and I'm going to say it again, this draws on us all the time. All the time, it's drawing on you. Be a spectator. Come on, impress me. And we got to resist that. We got to remind ourselves, God is calling us to be out of the gym and let the church of Christ really explode. You've been called. You've been uniquely wired by God. Listen to that. You have been called and uniquely designed by God. Verse 7 of chapter 4 says, to each of us, not the five that have been to seminary, not the six ministry staff, not the 10 staff, each one of us has been, by God's grace, uniquely designed, uniquely gifted for the call to be on mission. Last week we talked about how earlier in this chapter Christ is leading that parade of victory back into the kingdom, right? He's got the enemy by the throat and he's just dispersing the plunder. That's the gifting that Jesus has that goes into the family so that the family can use those gifts on mission. And in verse 11 of chapter 4, it says that God has gifted the church with apostles, with evangelists, with teachers, with pastors, not so that those gifts would just terminate in on themselves, but the design of those gifts, which includes those pastors that we talked about, is to verse 12, prepare God's people. Prepare God's people for works of service. That's being on mission. Then Romans 12:6, this is just Paul saying it to a different church in a different letter. We have all been given different gifts by God's grace. So the assumption that this is just about staff, if we haven't beat that down, let me take one more run at it. And it's 2 Corinthians 5. This is a mind blow. If you haven't been moved yet, let this move you. Let this move you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if you're a Christian, and you are, if you're in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and then gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Do you see that? God in his love for you draws you into reconciliation through the mediation of Jesus Christ. And then once you have made that decision to just be in Christ, that ministry of reconciliation is handed to you. It's yours. That's the mission. That is your mission. Verse 19, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them, praise God, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Wow. Wow. What an invitation. What an invitation to get out of the gym, get into what God is calling us to. There are some mountaintop experiences out there in the form of ministry, working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are we in? Are we going? Are we seeing this? We have been called. But we got to overcome what we tend to do, and that is to compartmentalize our lives. You know what I'm saying? Compartmentalizing our lives is the idea of, hey, I got my family, I got my work over here, I got my hobbies over here, I've got my church over here, and I got my mission over here. And if we compartmentalize and we're separating it out, and if we're not viewing all that we are, all that we are involved with through the filter of the glue that keeps it all together on mission, which is we're ministers of reconciliation, it's on us. Wherever we're called is to be about showcasing the expanse, glory, and wisdom of God wherever we're called. If we see it separate, then we miss the glue. You can't have your job here and your mission over here. Your job is your mission. It's your mission. But I don't like my job. I get it. It's where you're called, though, for now. I don't like the people in my job. Get over yourself. You're on mission. You're called. Be engaged. Learn to surrender that to Christ and let him use you. He will. He will if you will respond to him. God's call on your life is wherever you are, whether you're in the field, whether you're in the gym, whether you're at the office, whether you're at church, whether you're driving a bus for the youth. It's all about mission. How do I minister the reconciliation of Jesus Christ in this? Where I am, right here, right now. That's the call. Doesn't come from staff. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Never going to happen if it's staff. Never designed by God to be staff. Staff are the ones who are hopefully God's call to empower us, all of us to get out. All of us to get out. All right, that's the assumption. Did we punch on it? The assumption is all of us. It's all of us. Now let's talk a little bit about why. Let's talk a little bit about why. We're not going to talk about how. You'll never get to how if you don't get the why. You'll really not understand the why if you don't get that you're in. You're called. So we're going to talk about the why, and that can just easily take you to the how. The second point is mission of knowledge. This is the why. Mission of knowledge. Now, let me try to unpack that a little bit. Historically, truth has always been challenged, right? I mean, there's nothing new under the sun. Solomon tells us that. It's very clear. Truth has always been challenged. Did God really say? All the way back then, up to this day, truth is watered down, twisted, manipulated, and changed for the sake of the lie. But what is unique to us, it's just our turn, right? We're there now. But what is unique to us where we are, I believe, is the speed and the momentum whereby lie gets infused, truth gets attacked, changed, watered down, manipulated because of the global connection that we have for the past, 20, 25 years. It's like, man, within hours, something can get established as lie, challenging truth, and it picks up a momentum and a speed. Like, for me, it's mind-boggling. Mind-boggling. You can Google anything out there, whatever truth is out there, you will find challenge to it. You will find it watered down. You will find it modified. You will find it compromised. And the temptation is for us to take that. Jesus has called us to be on a mission of knowledge, to be on a mission of knowing what truth is. And here's what I think we got to be careful about. We can Google, for example, progressive theology. And we can be told in a number of ways that you can take what the Bible means and you can switch it and modify it and form it and mod it to mean what you want it to mean. You can do that. The only oops in that is you can't do that. The Bible means what the Bible means. You can't change that. You can't modify that. That truth is established and it's outside of you. You cannot modify because of your circumstances, because of your emotional place in life, because of where you feel the ping in your flesh to want to modify. You can't do that. The Bible is the Bible, and it is established, it is set. Pretty much all theology, orthodox teachings are set. So that when God says God created the universe, the world, he created it. Right? When God says there's only one true God, that God is showcased in a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. A lot of mystery there, but that's what the Bible teaches. We don't deviate. We're sinners. And we needed Jesus on the cross to take what we deserved. And he took it. Truth is truth. Can't be modified. We have to thereby mold our thinking and our actions to what truth is saying to us. We can't flip that around. And so what we have as brothers and sisters in the Lord is this awesome opportunity. Let me show it to you in verse 13. The body, that's you and I. The body is to be built up, verse 13, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Do you see it? We have to reach unity as a body in the full knowledge of Christ. And God is calling us as a body to be about coming along in our knowledge of him together. Together. Not just you, it's not just me. Don't miss the unpopular, politically incorrect tone of what Paul just said. This is about unity. This is about together. This is about all of us striving to the full knowledge of who Christ is together. That is unity. Political correctness is all about diversity. It's all about diversity. What you want to believe, you go ahead and believe that. Go ahead, believe it. Now, I believe this. I don't believe what you, but you got permission. Believe it. And in political correctness, you don't judge. No, we're not the judge. That's not our job. But you know what I'm saying? We're just going to let that fly. No, unity in the knowledge of Christ is firm. It's set. We don't change that. We don't modify that. Diversity says, make the Word of God, especially when it comes to biblical truth, make the Word of God bend to what you prefer. Make the Word of God bend to what your circumstances are, what your emotional state is. No, you can't do that. The Bible is set. And our unity in knowledge involves modifying our beliefs and then our actions to what the Bible says is true. That's the flow. That's the order. Any belief outside of biblical truth, orthodox is set, right? Theology is pretty much defined, right? Especially in those essentials that I mentioned, some of those. Anything we take that's different than that is not truth. It's a fairy tale. We're either believing a lie. It's not biblical. And so as a body of believers together, we are to mine that out in our understanding, modifying our beliefs, and then our actions. That's why we got to be on mission. With a culture that says, you believe whatever you want. I'll believe what I want. How much is this needed in our world? It's a big time need. We got to go out. We got to be on mission. Now notice the way that we deliver. This is verse 15. I want to park on this for just a second. We got to be on mission. We got to be in unity of knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, prayerfully looking for opportunities to, verse 15, say the truth in love. We speak truth in love, right? We speak the truth in love with each other, and we speak the truth with love, especially when we're on mission outside of the church, out of the gym. We speak it in love. We don't hide the club and wait for somebody to misspeak and then just go, pow! We don't do that. We don't weaponize our truth by jumping into a tank and shooting off rounds. We don't do that. Stay out of the Black Hawk helicopter parked in your driveway. Don't do that. Speak the truth in love, no weaponizing of it. Bring it in love. Truth is fixed. It's outside of us. It's not in us. It demands that we modify our thinking and our actions because of the truth. We don't bring it to us. And we have to keep moving as a body in the development of the knowledge of Christ, because that's where transformational power is. That's where transformational power is. Now, if we come to church with the impress me attitude, the arena mentality, here's what happens. We chase experience over the transformational power of the knowledge of who Jesus is. We chase experience, and if we tend to be intellectually inclined, we grab after knowledge. That's our experience. And if we tend to be more emotional, we chase like the experience of God through maybe charismatic or just feed my emotions, the experience of it. Now, I like the experience of God. I love the warm fuzzies, amen? I love it when that happens, but the order is it comes as a result of pursuing God in unity as a body, the knowledge of who he is, not chasing experience, amen? All right, one more, then this is another, why are we on mission? Third point, mission of Christ-likeness. Verse 13 says, we're to become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Now, that answers anybody's questions that might be, hey, how long am I on mission? Full measure of Christ until we either go home or he comes back, right? We're in this for the whole thing. Till he comes back or we go home. Now, verse 15 says, in all things, grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. So here we have this imagery that Paul's flying. It's the imagery of a body. And the head of the body is Christ. So the head of our body, the church, is Christ. Now verse 16. From him, the head, the whole body, that's us, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. That's the mission. Now notice the aim of ministry is to build up the body. It's for the body, not the individual. It's not about me. It's not about building up you. It's about a bigger view of the body. It's about building up the body. So that we're coming along in all these different places of the church rather than just one place. The head is perfect. The head is mature. The head is holy. That's Christ. The head is fully. Paul describes the head as a complete wholeness. But we, the body, are anything but complete. We're on all these different places of our development, of our nurturing towards who Christ is. We're in different places. Some of us are further along than others. But when this is firing on all cylinders, when a church really has this understood and they're cooking in the mission that God has called them to, here's the mindset. The mature are maturing. And people are recognizing their gifts. They're recognizing that Christ is everything. And our response to that is that we're going to go out. We're going to recognize our gifts. We're going to get involved. We're going to be on mission, that we're not compartmentalizing our lives, that we are about the reconciliation of God between man wherever we are. When we start to fire in that way, we see maturity take off. We see new faith developing. I talked to somebody this morning. They've been in this church for 2 weeks. They just got saved. Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
We see this happening, and then what happens as maturity is maturing and babies are coming in, the mature come back around and help those babies up. And they bring them up into maturity, and we just kind of repeat this process all over the church. That's a healthy church. That's a godly church that's on mission. I remember, well, Lisa and I, we're in this unique place in life, 30 years married, two years without kids, right? 2 years? We're loving it. We're loving it. Amen? We've done our tour. We've been there through all of that. We've done the Costco size Orajel when they were teething. We've gone through the tour. We've wiped the noses. We've cheered them on. We've brought them along. They learned to crawl. They learned to walk. Praise God, the day we got them all out, potty trained. It was like heaven. A slice of heaven just showed up at our house. They're all potty trained. No more hazmat suit and the thing. We're done with that. Some of the kids are looking at me like, oh, I don't want to be here right now. And so now they're gone. We're still parenting, right? I mean, that's never over, but we've gone through that stage. So now we get to hold some of your babies. We have two babies in our small group. We got Lorelai, and then we got Lucas, and we get to love them and hold them until they start crying, and we hand them right back to you. You go right back to mom and dad. Bless you. It's your turn. Here's the point. When we were parenting, and as we were in all those different stages, when our kids learned to crawl, when they were starting to crawl, we didn't stand across the room and say, why aren't you walking? If in your maturity, you can't celebrate the crawl, then you're not mature. See, in the family, as we get the mindset of Christ, where God is trying to mature the whole family up to the full knowledge of Christ, to be on mission, to be ambassadors of reconciliation for the Lord, as we're in that process, if we can't celebrate two steps and then a fall, then we're missing it. We celebrate the crawl. You crawled! And when steps get taken, we're like, high five. Good job. I'm going to lose my voice again. We don't stand back and say, should have been five steps. What were you thinking? We don't do that. We don't do that to each other. And we're sure not going to do it when we're on mission. We're going to love this family together. That is God's plan. He's the head. Ain't one of us arrived. We got some maturity happening, praise God, but maturity comes back around and says, come on, keep crawling. You took a step. Keep stepping. And bringing the whole family along. Amen? That's the view that God has on the bride. We're all in. Every one of us are in. We have unity in the knowledge of who Jesus is, and we see that we take that out as reconcilers. We're called to be reconcilers between man and God. Ain't no boredom if we're on mission. There's none of that. We're called to help each other along. Let's bow.
bow our hearts. Let's ask God to do business with us. Father, this is your plan. We laugh about the fact that we're messy people, and we really are. We are messy people, and we do make mistakes. We are going to blunder it, but the fact that your plan is to use us to be mediators, to showcase the expanse of the knowledge and the holiness of who God is, it just blows my mind. It should blow all of our minds. You've called us to that. So God, help us to see that this isn't about pastors. This isn't about elders. This is about every one of us. Every one of us. Your word tells us that. So God, help our minds to reach towards belief of that and help our actions to follow. That's transformational power, God, and I ask you to do that in our lives this morning. I pray, God, that you would help us to really anchor down in together, not just as individuals, but together, what the knowledge of Jesus is. What is it? And to help each other along, to encourage the crawl, to help get people back on their feet and moving again as they try to step. And God, it is you that we are aiming toward. It is for your glory. It is for the work that you've called us to. God, would you bring conviction and would you bring challenge to our arena culture mindset? God, would you encourage us to say no to that? Lord, we're just going to be honest. It's honest. It pulls on us every day. So help us every day to remind ourselves this is about Jesus. This is about being on mission. Work is mission. Help us there, God. Help us to embrace that. Help us to walk that out. And I pray that your Spirit would empower that in Jesus' name. Amen.